Lord. Glory to God. Anybody glad they're here? How many of you know what tomorrow is? Brilliant. Just brilliant. It's not Groundhog's Day. It's my wife and I 55th wedding anniversary tomorrow. As we were walking in this evening, she said, "Do you remember what happened 55 years ago today?" And I said, "No." She said, "We were decorating the hall and we got into an argument. It had to be my fault. I don't remember what it was about, but so far it's worked out all right, you know?" And in 55 years, there's not been one problem at all. I'm waiting for the lightning. Glory to God. Anybody here have problems? We're in church, so you ought to be honest. There's a few problems, and every day there's a new problem. Glory to God. But we've got a God who'll take care of them for us. I don't know what the world does when they have problems. I just don't. So if you'll turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Got a problem, there should be some thanksgiving. "Let your request be made known unto God." That word careful means don't be anxious, don't take any thought for. And the result is, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then as we go down to verse number 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Sometimes we relegate that to finances, you know, but it means everything.
Yeah.
Healing, fear, anxiety, and he wants to take care of it. Now, I have a very simple message that I'll try to make complicated tonight so you think I'm smarter than I am. You may be seated. You are not going to believe this, but I've gotten calls from people in the church, and they've had problems. At first, I told them that I thought they had the wrong number, but some recognized my voice. And then I said, "Well, I only deal with these kind of things on the second Tuesday of every week." Can you imagine people filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they have problems? See, for the new saint, they think you come into the church, everything will be taken care of for you. You know, you won't have any problems at all. But God allows problems into our life in order to cause us to stand fast and get strong. Now, I also heard that there are ministers that have problems. In fact, most ministers have more problems than you have. Because some of the greatest men and women in the Bible had problems. In fact, everyone here will always have problems until your feet leave the ground. I'm here to help you tonight to overcome some of these problems. First, let's define your problems. Are you married? You have problems. Do you have children? You have problems. Do you have a shortage of money? You have problems. Do you have an ache someplace in your body? You'll have problems. Problems don't mean you have a God that's displeased with you. And if you don't remember anything I say tonight, please remember this. Just because you have a difficulty or a problem in your life does not mean that God is angry with you, displeased with you. Hallelujah. If you look at the 12 disciples and what they went through, all went through a horrible death, and their names are going to be written on the foundation of heaven. Church is not a kind of a charismagic place to be, you know, where all of our problems, you just kind of dump them and then you walk out and you get a clean slate. I'd like to help you with, maybe a nervous breakdown tonight. You know, so many people feel like they're having one because they're burning the candle at both ends. They're just, you know, they're overwhelmed. We use that language. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown right after this project is done, or as soon as I can work it into my schedule, you know. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 34, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. I don't listen to the news very often, because it's all bad news, and the forecast is bad news, and tomorrow is going to be worse, and there are some who predict the world will be ending in 12 years, and all this nonsense. And what happens is it starts to get inside, and you start to become anxious. What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to the nation? What's going to happen about China or the war, you see? There are 10 million sleeping pills consumed in America each day. 25 million people each day see a doctor for emotional problems. There is such confusion in the world as to what's right and what's wrong. There isn't a clear sound in this world because there's all opinions. I grew up in a world where things were black and white. There was good and there was evil. The good guys wore white hats, the bad guys wore black hats, and there really wasn't too much of a problem. I could even tell you who was a man and who was a woman. But today it's a little different, you see. There's a lot of confusion. I remember when young men aspired to be the president, you see. In 1957, they added to the Pledge of Allegiance two words, one nation under God. It was in 1957 that they added that. I remember when gay was something good, you know. There's an old Pentecostal song that we sing, I'm happy and gay since Jesus washed my sins away. We don't sing that song very often anymore, you know. Now here are the keys to having a successful breakdown. Just take notes if you want. Amen. Try to figure out the answer before the problem comes, the what ifs. Worry about, I don't know, if this happens, maybe I should, you know? You can never have complete peace in your life if you're thinking about what is going to happen. Take a look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Notice Jesus keeps saying, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, nor what shall we drink, nor wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore, there it is again, no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God wants us to have peace. Not to be anxious about anything that is going on. You see how valuable you are? We are the jewels of God. We are his precious people, you see. Too many people worry about tomorrow. You can make your life miserable. We also get needs confused with greeds. God shall supply all my greeds. No. You know, I find in third world countries, people don't have all these anxieties about what I have and what I don't have because they don't have the same expectation or greeds that we do. A yesterday wants to become the need for today. And you see, we have to recognize we can't worry about these things because God shall supply all your needs according to his supply. You know, you can get to the place where Dad had a heart attack, I'll probably have a heart attack. Mom had cancer, I could probably get cancer. You know, you start worrying about these things. I can match stories with any of you, but I'm here to say his grace is sufficient for each of us. If we could understand the value we have to God and that he cares about every little thing that happens in our life, we don't even have to explain to him what's going on in our life. He knows it. He's looking for our reaction. You know, do we have enough faith to believe that he really is in our corner, you see? When I was a young man, I worried about losing my hair, and look how that turned out, you know? Don't have to worry about those things. You can't handle tomorrow's problem, but his grace is sufficient for today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, one day at a time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer or worship and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's another part. We got to let him know what we want, not just assume he's going to take care of it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart, your feelings, and your thoughts, you see. And that sometimes does us in because we get these feelings and anxieties and then the thoughts come in and then 2 o'clock in the morning you're laying in bed thinking about what could happen, what if the bank calls or what, you know? The peace that I have, this world can't take it away from me. The banker can't take it away from me. The doctor can't take it away from me, you see? Number two, try to relive the past. You know, that's always fun. People who can't be happy today because of what happened to them years ago. They can never have any peace. I should have married Judy or Trudy or Harry or Barry, but you didn't. And life could have been even worse with Trudy, especially with Harry. You just don't know. I made a bad decision. So what? Today is a new day. Every day is a new day. You know, I know something that God doesn't know. And that's hard. I'm not saying that I'm smarter than God, but I know something that God doesn't know. I know all my past sins, and God doesn't. That's right. Because Hebrews 8 and 12 says, "For I will be merciful to them in their righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." See, when we repent, God forgives us. Does he forgive me if I don't repent? No. Therefore, forgiveness has a requirement that there has to be a repentance. If I need to forgive somebody, they have to first repent. You see, if God doesn't want to go back and relive all of my errors, then why should I? If you fail God and repent, God doesn't remember, so why should I? If you'll turn to Philippians, third chapter, and verse number 13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." One thing, if you're going to have peace, you have to forget those things that have happened in the past. Amen. 1 John 1 and 9 is very familiar to us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You see, confess and forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, remember the sin that I confessed last week? I'm sorry, I don't remember. See, we don't have to keep going back to God saying, "Oh, I'm sorry again, I'm sorry again, I'm sorry again." That's foolish. That's a waste of time. Because his word says, okay, it's under the blood. You don't have to come to me again with that situation. We can make it through tomorrow if we don't have to drag yesterday with us. And there are too many people that have a woulda, coulda, shoulda attitude. We're dragging it with us. Or are we even telling somebody about what happened? And I don't think there's any relevance to that at all. Number three, don't make decisions. This will help you with your breakdown. Don't make decisions. Just, well, we'll see what happens. You know? Don't do today what you could do tomorrow. No decision is really a decision. I wonder how many Bible studies I've taught, lay out the whole plan of salvation. Nobody makes a decision. Well, that's a decision. I don't believe it. I'm not going to act on it. And then there's frustration. Most of God's promises are conditional. I will if you will. We have to do something. You see, most decisions are... We all have to make. We just aren't qualified to make them because God helps make them for us. He will make a way where there is no way. How to be a good father? Did I know how to do that? Mm-mm. But I learned. I helped. There was scripture. There's instructions how to be a good husband, how to be a good Christian. We're learning every day that these are the things that we have to do, but we can't just read about them or hear about them without doing something about it, you see? James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally." I don't know what to do. Best thing I recommend is asking God what to do. And I believe he wants to answer us, you know? I wonder how many people have come to me over the years and said, I want to do this, or I'm going here, or I'm going to do this. And I've said, so that's what God said? Well, I just feel that way. No. Most decisions, God wants to be involved with, you see? Or we could make a mistake. He's our wonderful counselor. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Number 4, demand of yourself more than you can produce. You know, glory to God, I'm going to get this thing done. Turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into the desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, running to and fro. Got to get this done. Got to get that done. If I don't have a schedule, you know, too many of you make all kinds of lists that you have to do, and then at the end of the day, you didn't do all of it, and you feel guilty because you didn't. Verse number 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. In other words, Jesus said, come apart or you will come apart. Take some time, you see. There were times when Jesus stopped the crowd and he went to rest. Take time for your family. Take time for the important things in this life. You can get to the place where you're 80 years old and you forgot to really enjoy life because you were accumulating things that'll go to somebody who doesn't appreciate all the work and effort you put into it in the first place. A foolish man keepeth working more and more and says, I'm trusting God to take care of my health and my family. No, that's foolish, you know. It's more than just accumulating things, you know. Here, just to sit by a tree seems to be a waste of time. You go into other countries, like especially Africa, that's just what they do. They're enjoying life, you see. And we shouldn't feel guilty about not working 80 hours a week. Jesus said that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. He established that in the very beginning. Work 6 days, take a rest. God did. Sometimes we get productive work confused with busy work. You just got to keep doing it, got to keep doing it, you know? Sometimes conversations are a waste of time because they never come to any kind of conclusion, you see. And the older you get, the more cognizant you are of time and how precious it really is, and you need to make it. You know, wasting time is probably the greatest commodity that we have on the face of the earth. It's not money, it's the amount of time. When you get to the place where, you know, you're elderly, Is it more money that you need, or is it more time that you need? I just saw something today that the oldest person on the face of the earth is 122 years old. And I don't think she put in 80 hours a week, you know. Glory to God, but I'm sure she drank pickle juice and a lot of other things, you see. Hallelujah. How many of you love to put your car in neutral and then just step on the gas, you know? I wonder why the parts are falling off. How many times do we do exactly that? We set up a schedule, you know, got to do this, got to do that, especially when you're young. A university once studied Pentecostals and put blood pressure cuffs on them, and when they started speaking in tongues, they found, and it's recorded, that their blood pressure went down and there was a rest that came over them. It's like Isaiah 28:11 says, this is the rest wherewith they would not hear. Amen. Well, I'd like to come to church Sunday, but I got to work. Do you? Or do you want to? You see, is it the time and a half? You don't realize, you know, you need to have the rest. The rest is in the presence of God, you see. Number five, believe everything that the devil tells you. You know, if you'll turn to Revelation 12, verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There is an accuser of us. You see, we've been pardoned of all our sins, yet there's an accuser that keeps bringing forth accusations against us, whether it's in our mind or through somebody else. The devil is called the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren, a condemner of the saints over and over again, and you can buy into that to the point where you don't feel worthy in order to be in the presence of God. Did you know that most of our conflicts will come just before church? And that's why I will not have meetings with people before church, because it distracts from what I want to do for what you want to do. There'll be a day, someday, mark this down before I die, that people will actually come into church, and instead of just going to their pew, they'll come to the altar and get a hold of God. When you do that, I can't imagine what kind of service we could have, you see. Church doesn't start a song service. It starts with greeting the Savior and spending some time with him. And I just don't want to be distracted at all. It's our Sabbath, or it's our intermission from life and problems. If you want to stay grounded and have the peace of God that passes all understanding, we need to hold on to the Prince of Peace. You see, I remember Brother Kylie pastored the Oconomowoc Church, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And he asked the congregation to divide men against the women. That scripture that talks about will keep your heart and mind. And so he had all of the men come and lay hands on his head, and have all the women come and lay hands on his heart, because he didn't want to go through this cancer situation with thoughts that weren't to be there, nor feelings that shouldn't be there. And that's what God wants, you see. Be careful for nothing. Now we're going to go real deep. The word nothing in the Greek means nothing. Not even one thing. Don't be careful for anything. And if we aren't careful or anxious about even one thing, God says, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your thoughts, keep your feelings. Yes. Amen. And then you can have joy. You know, Midian, well, he hid behind the mill, grinding out a little grain, because he knew the Midianites were going to come and take it. You know, and bring it down home. Honey, the Midianites are here to take our joy. There's all kinds of things that I'm here to take your peace, to take your joy. No, I'm sorry. I'm not careful for anything because God is guarding me. I saw where founder of Facebook, Zuckerberg, is that his name? He has 22 guards with him all of the time because he's afraid something is going to happen. Hallelujah. You got nothing. I've got angels that surround me. I've got a God that can take care of any adversary. Hallelujah. So, I'm not worried. Amen. Glory to God. If something happens to you, it can't happen to you unless it's approved by Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, then he's got an answer. Amen. See, I'm glad I'm in the church. Amen. So pray that everything goes well tomorrow and we start on our 56th year of marriage. Would you stand with me, please? I can't count the times that I've walked into a Pentecostal church over the last 45 years with a problem. And it's absolutely amazing that I can walk out without it. This is a place to unload the baggage, you know, and walk out free. Clear conscience. Amen. Na 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 na. Sticks and stones can break my bones.